Hey everybody, this is Ariel from 3AE, where God is greater than anything and everything. And right now I just wanted to interject with a brief encouragement. There are more messages coming soon, but I've just been reflecting, kind of not like a sitting and stewing reflection, but just, you know, hearing different people's testimonies, thinking about different things I'm seeing in the Word. And it just made me think of some of the things I've experienced in the last few years, and again, not in like a huge depressing way, but the fact that God has brought me into places or into rooms where I have faced some of my biggest fears. I have encountered situations that I somewhere, somehow made mean something else. Like if I don't have this by a certain age, or if I don't accomplish this, or if I don't say the right thing or move in a particular way, that what this person said about me in my past is somehow true, or I'll never come up from under the shame that this person, I felt like they, you know, just tossed onto me. And it's not true. Obviously, it's not true. I'm not saying that as a question. I'm just saying it's not true. I have dealt with debt. For some reason, I internalized that to mean I was less than. I internalized it to mean that I wasn't worthy or worth somebody's investment. Looking at singleness in a certain way, if I can't get someone to love me romantically, then, you know, what I lacked in my childhood or from certain people in my family, it's just proving them right, that I'm not worthy of the investment of love if I can't get someone to choose to love me. But, side note, the people that I wanted the attention of, they were just as emotionally unavailable as the people in my family. So, like, in my head, I'm vying for these same kind of person's attention, and I'm having the same kind of outcome because I'm coming from a place of this brokenness or this, just this misunderstanding of how life should look. And I just want to tell you that God isn't bringing you to your fear. He isn't bringing you to this trial. He isn't bringing you to this test because he hates your guts. He hasn't abandoned you. That is not the case. He has brought you here so that you realize that everything you thought this situation meant is a complete and utter lie. You probably thought that if you weren't in a relationship by such and such age that you were somehow a failure. If you didn't get that degree by such and such time that you had missed the mark. If you weren't completely X, Y, and Z, insert arbitrary benchmark right here, that you are somehow what people have said about you. That you are somehow a shame. You are an embarrassment. You are this, that, and the third. But it's not true. And so I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what thing you've placed on your life, what stressor you've placed on your life, where you've convinced yourself that you are somehow naked. And God is saying you were never naked there. There's nothing wrong with you there. This is a random, imagined, just insecurity. You're insecure there, but it's an imagined place of lack. You don't have a fault there. You're not somehow lacking in that place. You're fine. And he wants you to see that despite this thing that you've cooked up in your head or this lie that you've been made to believe, that he is still there with you. He still loves you. He still cares about you. And he's taking you through this situation. He hasn't left you. And you're not what people said. So, just to, I don't know, drive the point home. Maybe I can be a little emotional at times. But I'm not a crybaby. I can be emotional. I can be a softie. But I'm not even hyper emotional. Not anymore, at least. I'll just put it this way. My emotions are valid. I just have to learn how to articulate what's wrong instead of just always going right into crying. Sometimes crying is necessary for that physical, physiological release. But there's nothing wrong with me. I'm not somehow undesirable because I'm comfortable crying. I am not just, what's the word? I am not a wasted investment. Just because I'm not everybody's cup of tea, just because I'm not sent to everybody, doesn't mean that I'm not worthy of an investment. Doesn't mean that there aren't a lot of people who like me or who want my message or who just want me as a person in their life. It's not true. I am nobody's mule. I don't have to carry all of your burdens, make your life easy just to prove that somehow I have the right to exist. I am not, I don't know, unlovable. I'm not unlovable. People like me. A lot of people like me. A lot of people actually love me, not just like me. There are people who love me. There are people who will easily inconvenience themselves for me. And not because I'm the best thing since sliced bread, but because they genuinely love me. And that is more of a reflection of that person than it is of me. There are people who love me. I have a community. I have a church family. That is my family. You know, I am not... What are some other things that I made myself believe? I am not incapable or incompetent. I'm not less than. It's not futile for me to put forth effort. I am not in competition with anybody. All of these things are a lie. You being great at something or you being advanced in your career or in your season of your life is not a threat to me. There is enough space for all of us. Why is there enough space for all of us? Because God is infinite and there is a ground for me to have dominion over. Even if we have a similar sphere of influence, even if we have a similar call, you are called to a different group of people than me, or we're called to work this particular piece of land or whatever, this particular lane, but in different capacities. You being you does not take away or detract from me being me. There is an absolutely no way for you to encroach upon my promise. Whatever God has promised me, that is for me, my household, and my lineage. You can't take it. I'm not about to let you take it. Why? Because I'm going to continue sowing into my ground, tilling this ground, and having dominion over it. So God isn't going to go back and take my talents. No, we're working the ground. What is God going to take my talents for? I'm doing what he's called me to do. Sorry if I sound a little passionate, but I feel like somebody needs to hear this. I'm not a threat to you. You are not a threat to me. There is absolutely no failure in God. There is absolutely no lack in him. The only thing that we are doing right now, the only thing that I am doing right now in this season, is learning how to believe everything God says and to value patience and consistency. When you think about it, right? There are so many random phrases that we have. What's the word? Repeat it to ourselves. So many things that we have let sink into our thinking that are not correct. Prime example, it just reminds me of a conversation I had with one of my friends. We sit and say there's a thin line between love and hate, right? But if we are believing that and we're subscribing to that, this is why we think that God is always so ready to discard us, because we think there's a thin line between him loving us and hating us. But the word says there isn't a depth or a height, life or death, that can separate us from the love of God. So why would there be a thin line between his love and his hate? It doesn't work like that. There are some other random lies that we believe that I can't really think of right now, but that's the first one that came to mind. It's just, or this is the other one. I've heard a lot of people say that they're here for a good time and not a long time. When you're thinking that way, you get really impatient. You start to feel like you have to accomplish something right now. You have to see it manifest this instant or it's going to fail. That's not how God functions. I'm not sure if you've noticed, but our God is extremely patient, can give a word and wait thousands of years for it to come to pass. He is okay with that because he knows the beginning from the end. The only being or the only class of beings that are perpetually in a rush because they know that their time is running out is the enemy. You are not, brothers and sisters, on some borrowed time clock. Don't get me wrong. Our life is a vapor. We have to make the most of it. We have to redeem the time. But God honors consistency. God honors that if we have, not if, when we have eternity to spend with our Father, to spend with our Maker, to spend with God, to spend with the people of God, to spend with God's creation who's aligned themselves with God, right? What are we rushing to the end for? There is no end. We're here in this perpetual state of being. And I'm sorry if you heard my phone vibrate. My bad. But anyway, what are we rushing for? What are we afraid of? Why are we thinking that if I don't get to this place tomorrow, I'm going to die? That's not you. That is some random thought process that you've inherited or been indoctrinated into. You are fine. Don't get me wrong. If there is a deadline, an actual deadline, and not just some self-imposed deadline, okay, God is going to grace you to meet it if that's what he's calling you to actually do, so that you can do everything in a spirit of excellence. But stop feeling like life is over. It's not. I promise you. We're fine. We're fine, guys. We are fine. So, I feel like I'm just kind of rambling, but the whole point is you have been brought into certain seasons like Job was. You fear God, but you also fear situations. You are afraid that certain situations mean a certain thing about you and your relationship with God or his perspective of you. And that's not true. He's brought you to this place to show you that no matter what these facts say about you, I still love you. You are still valuable. You are still worth my investment, and my blood was still shed for you. I care about you. My people care about you. We're going to build you up, and we're going to give you a right view of these things. So again, and I keep saying again, I'm so sorry. It's probably annoying. But when I look over these last few years, some of the lowest points of my life, absolutely the lowest points of my life. But with that being said, I know that God loves me. I know with every fiber of my being that God loves me, and it's not because of my works. It's not because I've been a perfectionist. It's not because I'm not like them and I don't do X, Y, and Z. It's because he loves me. It's because it's who he is. I know that God wants me to be a good steward. I know that he cares about how I spend my time. He cares about, you know, what I expose myself to. He cares about the kind of friends I have. He cares about the relationships I'm in. He cares about everything that concerns me. And he cares about preserving my heart. He has my best interest at heart. God in no way, shape, or form wants me to be motivated by shame or covering shame. That is not what he wants from me. Everything in my life right now is motivated or should be motivated by just a desire to honor God and to be intimate with him. And so, do I believe that some of the things I've gone through, I didn't have to go through? Oh yeah, of course, because a lot of them I orchestrated. So it's not like some of these situations or that or every situation I've dealt with, God brought me to it. I did it to myself. But I understand it just a little bit better. You know, I think I said in the last recording, you know, there's a place in, I think, Proverbs 8 where it says, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I feared God and now I'm in a place of understanding him. Now I'm in a place where I believe God loves me through and through. I'm not just afraid of him. I honor him. I revere him. I love him. I'm faithful to him. It's not just some blind loyalty. I trust him at this juncture of my life. And you might be in this space right now because God is trying to sow and reap a harvest of trust in you. All of this that you're dealing with might just be because God wants intimacy with you, intimacy from you, intimacy with you, and not just this place of fear. When I think about the different places in my life or in my childhood where I would feel rejected or less than or just really sensitive, it's like now I'm in a place where, okay, who said I have to be X, Y, and Z? Prime example, I still don't know how to rollerblade. Now, why do I not know how to rollerblade? Without me blaming anybody else, I did not like feeling ashamed when people would laugh at me when I was a little kid for something I didn't know how to do. And it's like, if it's my first time doing it, obviously I don't know what I'm doing, right? And so a lot of things, even into my adulthood right now, I haven't tried because you're not going to see me trying so that you can mock me. What's the point in me doing something new when I can do what I'm good at and you can never beat me there? And that's legitimately the mindset I've had about a bunch of things. And now when I look back, the people who would tease me about things, granted, they can't do what I do, period. Let's just call it, keep it 100. They can't do what I do. They're not called to do what I do. And I'm not called to do what they're doing. period. We're just different people. But there is no shame in that. They're pointing out a nakedness that isn't there. Like, no, duh. If I am 4 years old, I can't rollerblade yet if this is my first time ever laying my eyes on a pair of rollerblades. Did I think about it that way? No, I was four. So you create this reality. You create this thing of, I never want to be embarrassed again. I never want to experience this shame again. I never want my shortcomings pointed out again. And then we create these other things of what we're afraid of because we're afraid of experiencing these shameful feelings again. And then God brings you to a place where you're facing this shameful feeling again so that you can see how much of a lie it is. So anyway, it's not the end of the world. If I put on a pair of rollerblades right now and just skin both of my knees, fall in front of everybody, it is not that big of a deal. Will it hurt? Of course. I'm at an age that's going to hurt. It's probably going to hurt for a few days. But you know what? God willing, I would just heal quickly and miraculously. But still, the principle of it is fine. Again, I'm going on a bunch of tangents, but I just felt like someone needed to hear that as a whole. You're brought to this place. You're brought to this intersection of your life, this crossroads, whatever you want to call it, this fork in the road, whatever imagery best suits you, so that you can see where the truth is and where the lie is. God is not to get you. He loves you. Anyway, like I said, this has been Ariel from 3AE, where God is greater than anything and everything. Like I said, I'll be back with a recording that's actually talking about specifically the word of God. But today was just an encouragement. So go forth. Be great. And I hope that you start to have an understanding of God and not just a fear of him. And anyway, last thing before I get off, because apparently I do like to ramble. Thank you for listening. I truly appreciate you. If you were here before I deleted a bunch of my episodes, the fact that you've made it this long, the fact that you've heard me evolve over this last, year and some change, I appreciate you. I'm grateful for it, and I'm really grateful for what God has done. I'm grateful for how he shifted my perspective. I'm grateful that even if you don't get to know that evolution forever, that I have the recordings of it. So I'm just grateful for how he's using this season. And he is really greater than anything and everything. He's greater than what I've thought about myself, what I believed about the world, what I believed about my role in the world, or what I'm capable of, or what kind of blessings would ever come to me. And so, you know what, I'm just gonna keep talking. However long this ends up being is how long it ends up being. I'm in a place now where I just want to believe God at every opportunity I have to believe God. There is no failure in him, like I said. There is no lack in him. There is no what if. It just is. And if we think about it, if we just sit and meditate on it, there would be no what if. There would be no fear. There would be no holdback if it wasn't for the enemy, if it wasn't for a warped perspective, if it wasn't for us living this life and not renewing our minds. Going on another tangent. I got saved pretty young. But I grew up in church environments where, I don't know how to describe it, but I'll put it this way. So many churches it's about the jargon. It's about being able to sound churchy or Christ-like or sound Christian, but it doesn't always connect with a newer group of people or a younger group. Sometimes you have to just communicate in a way that makes sense to the people. And this is what Jesus did so beautifully when he communicated in parables. And so when I first got saved as a kid, as a baby, well, I wasn't a baby, but I was young enough to know, like, Jesus died for me. Like, it hit. I remember boo-hoo crying in church, but that's not what you're here for. Anyway, how do I want to say it? Give me a second. I'm trying to. When I got saved, church was just a place you went to kind of hear about the Bible. It wasn't necessarily, or the churches we went to, they didn't always talk about application of the word. It was almost like the Bible was just this set of stories. I mean, I knew these things had happened, but it was like there was this very intentional picking and choosing of what we would do. It wasn't until I got to the church I'm at now, where I've been for a few years, where we talked about, you know, how do you handle conflict with one of your brothers or sisters in Christ? How do we move? How do you, just the simple things. How do you do things in excellence? How do you praise? How do you worship? How do you go about your job? How do you go about relationships? How do you go about raising children? Things like this. Just how do you live and not just, I don't know. But we need different things in different seasons. The point is, there was no mind renewal and there was no training in that. So a lot of the lies that I believed before I got saved, there was no opportunity to challenge them. And, you know, by God's grace, he allowed me to just endure my adolescence until adulthood. And granted, I never want to, you know how some people want to go back and be a kid again? Absolutely not. Not in that context. I'm a child of God. I can be humble. I can act like a baby. But that season of my life before knowing God the way that I know him now, absolutely not. Would not want to go back there. But anyway, that was another tangent. Sorry. The point is, the things I've experienced now, being with a good community of believers, understanding how to really just sit and pray and talk to God and read the word and be in the presence or just be indwelled by the Holy Ghost and hear him speak. The situations I've encountered now have given me an opportunity to renew my mind. There were many opportunities before this point, but I had no training. I had no reference point. I didn't have a community of believers who could show me what it looked like. And, you know, I didn't even know when I was younger how to just pray and ask God for help understanding the Bible. It never even crossed my mind to pray that. Like, God, help me understand what I'm reading. That came later in life. And so, what do you have to challenge? You've been praying these things, knowing the vocabulary of sounding like a saint, but not knowing what it looks like in practice. So you've probably prayed, God, let my mind be renewed. And he's brought you here, brought you to the situation where you have to figure out which thing is going to stand, you and your belief system or whatever the enemy has implanted in you or God. When we think about, like, Israel, going into places, tearing down altars or tearing down the groves in the high places or even the plagues and the 10 of these Egyptian gods just being demolished, right? Because, you know, each plague represented an Egyptian god that was, you know, being under, you know, whatever, cool. Or even when you think about when Israel fought, the Philistines, and then the Ark of the Covenant was in their temple for Dagon or have you, their fish god, dude. And how it kept falling. Their idol kept falling in front of the Ark of the Covenant until the hands and the head broke off. What is God bringing you to in this season so that whatever idol you have in that place has to fall and it has to break? And whatever is there has been the thing that's been holding you bound, what you've been afraid of. If you're more afraid of being seen trying, then that is in control in that part of your life and not God. So now God is bringing you to this place where you have to be seen trying so that God can be God completely and nothing else can hold you in bondage. If you are afraid of being seen single, he's bringing you to that. If you're afraid of being seen without the latest this or money in the bank or whatever it is, he's bringing you to this so that that fear can stop being God in your life. But anyway, I digress. Again, I'm just grateful. And like I said, I know I've been talking in circles, but just take it as a candid conversation and we're going to move on. Like I said, God is just so good. And I want you to, whatever you're afraid of, whatever you feel like you're encountering right now in this moment, why are you afraid of it? I want you to sit with God and ask him, why are you afraid of this thing? See what he says and let him remove that thing. I remember, and I don't know why I'm saying all of these things. I remember a few years ago, God told me to love a particular group of people. And I was mad about it. I was mad because to me, love still meant being a mule, being a doormat. And so, God, you're telling me to continue being a mule and being a doormat for a group of insufferable people. I was infuriated. And why am I telling this story? I heard something in the background and it just messed up my train of thought. But anyway, he told me to do this thing. And that's why I'm telling you this. And it was frustrating, right? So just keep that in your mind. This was a few years ago. A few days ago, a situation arose that took me back to that season. And I could see it, I could feel it, I could smell it all over again. The frustration I used to have in that season. And I realized that it made me angry. I probably should have given more context. Can I give more context? Let me see. I'll put it this way. God showed me how to love this group of people. God showed me how to create an environment, how to pursue him, how to let him love me so that I could love this group of people. A few days ago, an environment was created, or an environment was disturbed, and it created this ambiance of chaos that I used to be in a lot. And it made me so mad. And it just kind of messed with my mood. And I didn't understand why. And I sat with God and he was like, you worked really hard with me to change this. And you had a flashback. That's what you're mad about. You're mad about the principle. You're mad about the flashback. You're mad because you've done so much work for this thing to not go to that place. But what he also showed me in that, he made it into a metaphor, and he showed me how he does so much. He works with us, and how quickly a situation can devolve when we kick him out of it. And that's what it felt like. He was showing me how things look from his perspective. And yeah, so just sit with God, ask him questions, and let him talk to you. And whether it's a fear, whether it's some other emotion you don't know how to put a name to, and just go from there. But know that he loves you. Know that he wants to be close to you. And know that he wants you to know the truth about him. And so that's what he is going to be working toward in your life. But okay, I'm done rambling, going all over the place. This is Ariel from 3AE, where God is greater than anything and everything. And I really hope that you have a blessed weekend, a blessed holiday. I know I said last time that I was going to try to do multiple episodes during the Thanksgiving week. Apparently that didn't happen. Maybe this next set of holidays will do that. But anyway, I digress. Sorry if you could hear me breathing into my phone. But I love you. Thank you. And yeah. Bye, y'all.